Welcome to the Brentwood Baptist Church services for Easter. He is risen, and we celebrate that with Christians, brothers and sisters around the world, this outrageously glorious news that our Lord lives. Now, as you know, we're doing things a little differently today. We are obeying and listening to the health experts and the governor who have told us we need to practice some social distancing. They don't want us gathering in large crowds. So in order to do that, we have gone to church online. Yes, it's a little different. Yes, it's a little uncomfortable for me preaching to a room that is empty. But you know, the first Easter sermon was preached to an empty space. Nobody was there to hear it. Oh, you're thinking that the angel told the women. No, the Easter sermon was preached before then. You know who preached it? The rock. The stone that had been rolled in front of Jesus' tomb. It was that stone that told the women before they ever got to the tomb itself that something had happened, that Jesus was gone. Remember, Jesus had said, if the people don't praise him, that the rocks will cry out. And nobody was there on that first Easter morning to celebrate his resurrection. So the rocks celebrated. The tomb itself echoed that he is risen. He's not here. The stone preached that first message to the women as they got to the garden. And now, we're continuing our series of sermons of the seven last words of Jesus. This one is found in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel. It says this, after he received the wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. That's the last thing Jesus said. It's the last words that we have recorded from his dying on the cross. And it had been several hours of unbelievable torture as he slowly bled to death, as the collarbones finally collapsed on his throat, and he would strangle. And now it was over. Some people see this as a shout of triumph, but I'm not so sure. I think when you read it in the context, this is the cry of an exhausted runner who has seen the last 100 yards and kicked with everything he had to finally push his chest through the finish tape. It's finished. I've run the race, and it's finally over. It's finished. What's finished? What do you mean, what's finished? What God has started, it's now finished. What God started at the very beginning of time itself, this great story of salvation, this great effort of redemption, from the first question in the Garden of Eden, where God asked Adam, where are you? God has in mind a plan, a heart that would stretch across time and across space, through Moses, through David, through Elijah, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah and all the prophets, and finally at the right time, Jesus would be born. At the right time, Jesus would live. At the right time, Jesus would die. And at the right time, Jesus would be raised from the dead. It's finished. Everything that God has wanted to do for humanity is now finished in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What we lost in Eden is now being restored. What we gave up, we can now get back. An intimacy with God the Father. Relationships with each other. Relationship with nature itself. All that we lost, he now gives back. And it's done. It's over. It's finished. Celebrate, brothers and sisters. It's done. It is finished, Jesus said. But it doesn't feel finished to us, does it? In fact, it doesn't feel like we've even started. You know, the good thing about Jesus coming is that he showed us the way. He showed us, this is how you live. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is how you are to live if you are part of the kingdom of God. This is what it means to follow me. We now see the standard. Jesus showed it to us. And now we see how far we are away from what he intended. It's not for lack of effort, is it? We try all the time. New Year's comes, we have New Year's resolutions, we fail. We go to the doctor says you need to do this or that to get your health better, and we do this or that for a couple of weeks, a few days. We can't ever hold it together. And finally, we get to the point where we feel like it is hopeless, that we are helpless, and we give up. We are not the first people to experience this. In fact, Paul himself talked about this in Romans. As Paul is explaining the gospel, he begins to teach about what the gospel is and how the gospel works. He talks about his own testimony. And at the end of chapter 7, he writes some words that all of us know. We wish we could have written them ourselves. He talks about, you know, I know what to do, but I can't do it. And the things that I know not to do, I end up doing them anyway. And then, in exasperation and frustration, he writes, "Who can save me from this body of death? Who can save me from this body of death?" If we haven't said those exact words, we have said something like them. Because we get tired of trying and failing, of trying to do good things, and it ended up making everything worse. Who can save us? Then Paul writes, "Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God, who in the person of Jesus Christ fought this battle that we can't win, dealt with these things that we can't get free of, fought these addictions that hold our life hostage, and in every time and in every situation, in every circumstance, Jesus has overcome these things. Death has lost its sting. Sin has lost its power. You and I are now free to live a different way, to live the way that Jesus has called us. It's finished. What's finished? Yes, the great salvation story of God is finished. But your fight is finished. Jesus has fought that fight for you. All of your sins, all of your failures were carried by Jesus to that cross. All of your sins, all of your failures were buried with Jesus in that tomb. And when the Father called Jesus back to life, he left those failures and he left those sins in that tomb. The fight is over. Jesus has won it. No more do you and I have to struggle to try to get over this before we can be with Jesus. We don't have to change that before we can be with Jesus. That fight is over. It's finished. Too many of you are trying to pay debts that you don't owe. You're trying to make up for things you can't make up. You're never asked to. You're never called to. When Jesus says it is finished, that means it's just starting for us, this new life, this new freedom. So as we come to this time of prayer, I want you to invite you to two prayers. One, I want you to give up all of those things that Jesus has already defeated and celebrate with him that it is finished. And second, I want you to pray about this new life that he's offering to you. Receive it as your own. Yes, it is finished for Jesus, but for you and me on this Easter day, it's just beginning. Don't you just hate a sermon where you come and somebody says, "Christ is risen." And Christ is risen to give you new life. And you go, "Yes, I want that new life. Now what?" You know, a lot of those sermons leave out the "now what." You don't know what to do with it. This is great news. My sins are forgiven. Great news. Death has been defeated. Great news. My sins have been taken from me. Great news. Now what? Yes, it is amazing news that Christ has been raised from the dead. But part of that resurrection is that he was raised to be with you. The next stories we have of Easter are Jesus going to his disciples, Thomas, Peter, all the rest. And this morning, the rest of the story is that Christ comes to you. He comes to you now to give you this new life. Now, let's talk about how this actually works. It's not that you, Christ stands with you while you take on sin. That's not it. It's the other way around. It's that Christ comes in you, fills your life to the point that you literally flush out everything else. In the fourth chapter of John, Jesus is having a conversation with a woman at the well. And he says, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would ask me for water that is living water that becomes a fountain within you, a spring, and it never runs dry. Throughout the scriptures, we have a picture of heaven, and there's always a throne, and there's always a river that runs from that throne, the river of life. This river of life that runs from the Father through Christ into every believer that fills your life up and flows out in love and ministry. Now, when Christ is filling your life up, he pushes out all the other desires. God tells one of the prophets, when one of the prophets says, how will we deal with all these other gods? And God tells the prophet, we'll starve them to death. You see, it's not that you fight all of this stuff. It's that you simply fall in love with Jesus. I want the good things of Jesus. And when I want the good things of Jesus, I don't want this other stuff. You see, I tell you the story of the Oreo all the time, and I tell you that because that's the way sin works. You see, if you get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to eat an Oreo, no matter what I do, I'm not going to eat an Oreo, well, guess what? By the time the afternoon comes, you'll eat an entire bag of Oreos. The only thing you've done is put the Oreo in the center of your brain. So if you go through your day going, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to sin, I'm not, guess what? Here's what you do. I want to be with Jesus. Our rabbi, our teacher is alive. And our teacher has promised us, if you'll sit down, if you'll open his word, he will sit down and teach you just like he taught John, just like he taught Peter. And he will pour his life into you just like he did with those first disciples. And as you spend more time with Jesus, this is what you want. This is what you love. This is what you crave. I want to spend more time in Scripture. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to spend more time meditating on who Jesus is. This becomes what I love, and I'll leave all this behind. Not because I won some great fight. I simply fell in love with Jesus. You'll start spending your time with Jesus. He'll start filling you up. The first things that come up are pretty nasty, right? He's filling you up, flushing you out, and all of that nastiness comes out. The rest is the pure love that comes from him. So that when you are with friends, they start seeing a different part of you. They'll even remark, you're different now. You don't get angry like you used to. You don't lose your temper. You're kinder to people. You're more loving. You listen at a deeper level. It's all because you have spent your time here, and what's flowing out of you now is the living presence of the risen Christ. It is finished. Death has been conquered. Sin has been defeated. You are now liberated to a new life, and that new life on this Easter day has just begun. It is finished, Jesus said from the cross. And the good news of that is for you and me, it has just begun.